science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day and this wonderful opportunity to be in church. I thank you for those that have come, and Lord, I do pray that you'd help each one of us now to be focused, to be alert, to be able to pay attention to the message and to receive it into our heart. And Lord, make any changes that we might need to make. And most especially, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open their eyes to their lost condition and help them to see that Jesus Christ is their only hope of heaven. And before they leave, I pray that they would trust you as their personal Savior. And Lord, I ask that you give me the grace, the strength, the ability, the liberty, all that I need, the filling of your Spirit, most of all, that I might say exactly what you want said here this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday before last, the Sunday before our revival, I started preaching a message titled The Confirmation Process. The Confirmation Process. And I want to finish that message this morning. And I told you in the introduction to that message that at some point after conquering Jerusalem and leading into Babylon many of God's chosen people, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, instituted or set in motion what he intended to be a confirmation process, a 3-year-long process whereby the best of these Jews he had taken captive would be conformed to the Babylonian way of life. With Nebuchadnezzar, it was not enough for these Jews to be in Babylon. His purpose and goal was for them to be of Babylon. And so he institutes this confirmation process that he hopes will help these Jews abandon their Hebrew way of life and adopt the Babylonian way of life. He wanted them to be something other than what they were. Yes, by birth they were Hebrews. That was their nationality. But in practice and precept, he wanted them to be Babylonians. He wanted them to adopt everything they could possibly adopt about the Babylonian way of life. And I mentioned in the introduction that that is exactly what the devil desires for every single one of God's children. He wants every single child of God to be conformed to this world. The ones that are already conformed, he wants them to stay conformed. The ones that have progressed and they have come out from among the world and they're separate, they've matured in their life, his desire, his purpose for them, each and every one, is that they abandon their Christian life, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and adopt the ways of this world. That's what Satan wants for every single born-again believer. He wants us to behave and live as something that we are not. And so, just like Nebuchadnezzar, Satan tries to put us through this process to where we will be conformed. And this, by the way, is one major reason why constantly in the Bible we are warned against worldliness. If you look in the New Testament alone, you'll see that Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. John tells us that we are to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. James warns us to not be spotted by the world. God doesn't want us to get even spots on us from this world in which we live today. And James even goes so far as to tell us that those who would be the friend of the world are the enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. So this matter of Christians being worldly is much more important, I think, than a whole lot of us understand. And I'm telling you, just like Nebuchadnezzar, Satan is willing to put in the time and the effort for us to experience this confirmation process. Nebuchadnezzar was willing to wait 3 years. He was willing to wait 3 years so long as at the end of that time, the best of these Jews had adopted the Babylonian way of life. And Satan is willing to put in the time, friend. He's willing, as long as he sees the process unfolding, as long as he sees you taking steps or sees me taking steps in the direction that he wants us to go, he's willing to put in the time. Even if you just take baby steps. Even if it's just a step here, a step there, something that you and I might seem as insignificant, as long as he knows the process is unfolding and the end result will be that you and I are conformed to this world, he's willing to put in the time. I want you to understand this morning that the devil isn't laxed about what he does like we are. His attitude is not one where he just is laid back and doesn't really care what's going on the way we seem to be sometimes. You know how lax we get in our own devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ? You ever noticed how easy it is to start easing up a little bit on your Bible reading and your prayer time and other things that are so vital and important? How easy it is to not be as committed to coming to church as maybe you once were in your life, miss a service here, miss a service there. Just kind of easing through life, just getting by as a Christian. Let me tell you something, friend. That's not how the devil does things. He is on duty every single day, watching out for any believer, any Christian that will allow him to accomplish his purpose in their lives. And that purpose is for us to be conformed to this world. That's what he wants for believers. Listen, if a person's unsaved, they're the property of the devil. He's got them, okay? Y'all understand that? That's what the Bible says. I didn't just make that up. I'm not just standing up here pulling stuff out of my hat, throwing it out, okay? That's in the Word of God. If a person's not saved, they're the property of the devil, the child of Satan. They do not belong to God. But when a person gets saved, they are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're birthed into His family. They become the Lord's property at that time. Listen to me. There's nothing that the devil can ever do to take our soul into hell once we get saved. Amen? Nothing. And thank God for that. But I tell you what he can do. He can make a mess out of your life as a believer. He can make a big time mess. He can get you so conformed to this world that you look just like people outside that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what he can do. And that's what he desires. He knows he can't take you to hell, but he also understands that he can get you to buy into this worldly process and begin down this road where in the end you are conformed to the world instead of conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's his desire. For every single Christian. Make no doubt about it. You might think you're insignificant. You may think you're unimportant and the devil's not fooling you. I promise you, if you belong to God, and especially if you are one of those Christians that's matured and you're actually trying to serve God and live for God and amount to something for God, I promise you, you're on the devil's radar. He's got his eyes on you. Did you notice that whenever Nebuchadnezzar got ready to bring about this process, he wanted the best that he had to offer? Did you notice that? Look at verse 4 again. When he tells Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to start this process, look at what he says. We'll look at verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the prince's children, in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. He wanted the best of the Jews. He's going to concentrate his attention and his effort, the devil is, on those believers that are growing, those believers that are well favored in the eyes of people, that have that good name and that good testimony, people that are actually making a difference for the kingdom of God. That's where he's really going to focus his effort, because if he can get people of that level, that spiritual level, to fall and be conformed, he knows the damage it's going to do to the cause of Christ. Let me ask you something. And I got to move on. I'm trying to move on. Let me ask you something. Don't you think it does more damage to the cause of Christ, to Christianity, ever how you want to describe it, when you have somebody that is looked up to as a strong believer in the Lord Jesus, somebody that has grown and matured and they're really serving God and people know that? Don't you think it does more damage for a Christian like that to fall than it does when these Christians is just kind of easing through life, not really making that much of a difference for the Lord? Those are the ones he's really willing to put the time in. So understand, if you're trying to serve God and trying to be devoted and live for him and make a difference for the cause of Christ, you are on his radar, friend. He wants you to be conformed to this world. Just like Nebuchadnezzar wanted these men, these people, to be conformed to the Babylonian way of life. And I told you that I was going to show you this process. And the first thing that I showed you, the first point, is that to accomplish this process, he had to change their thinking. He had to change their thinking. If you look again at verse number 4, the very end of that verse, it says in the end of verse 4, in whom they might teach, number 1, the learning of the Chaldeans. Over this 3-year period of time, he intended for them to go through an education overhaul. A education makeover. He wanted them to learn all that they could possibly learn about Babylon. That's what he wanted. He wanted them to learn the philosophies and the sciences and the precepts and the religions and the traditions of Babylon. He wanted them instructed and learned in all of those things. Why would he want that? Why would he want these Jews, these Orthodox Jews, these Hebrews, why would he want them to be learned in all of the wisdom of Babylon? It was to change their thinking. He's wanting these people to stop thinking like Hebrews and start thinking like Babylonians. That's what he wants. And that's exactly what the devil has to do to get us to conform. Listen to me, and I'm going to move on to the other points, but this one right here is absolutely critical. There is no way he can get you to conform so long as you think along a biblical line. You understand that? As long as the Word of God is your authority and your mind stays in the Bible and thus saith the Lord is the authority in your life, he cannot get you to conform. To get you to conform, he's got to get you thinking other than what God says in the Bible. And once he does that, if he can just get you thinking in any area, we talked a moment ago about baby steps. You just take one little step, and people think I'm crazy, I'm too dogmatic about how I believe the Word of God. Folks, I believe every word in this Bible right here. I believe every word. You say you believe every last word, I believe, is the inspired, infallible Word of God, every single one. If God said it, as far as I'm concerned, that settles it, whether you or I or anybody else in the world believes it. But if the devil can get you to question God in just one place, just one spot, then guess what? The process has begun. If he can get you to question God on one word, on one miracle, on one saying, just one thing, the process has begun in your life, beginning to change your thinking to where before long you're thinking like this world. And we went over some of that stuff last time, so I'm not going to take the time to go through it. I want to move on now, and I want to show you the rest of this process here. Not only did he want to change their thinking, but I want you to notice, secondly, that he wanted to change their talking. Their tongue. Look at verse 4 again. It says in the last part of verse 4, to whom and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Over this 3 years, he not only wants them to be re-educated, he wants them to learn the language of the Chaldeans so that they can talk like the Chaldeans. Y'all understand that? At the end of the 3 years, he wants them to be re-educated, to have a whole new outlook on life, to where they no longer are so narrow-minded and dogmatic and only think the way God wants them to think as Hebrews. He wants them to be re-educated. He wants them to evolve. That's the fancy godless word you hear all the time now. He wants them to evolve over 3 years to where their thinking is completely different than how they've thought throughout their entire lives, and he wants them to be able to talk just like all of the other Chaldeans, to have the tongue of the Babylonians. That's what he desires. I can promise you that that's something Satan wants to accomplish in his process. He wants to get you talking like the world, saying the things that the world says. But now listen to me carefully. I'm not just talking here about you and I or any believer saying curse words or profane things or telling dirty jokes and that kind of stuff. Really and truly, and I'm not minimizing any of that because that is bad and that's how worldly people talk. Amen? I'm not minimizing any of that. But folks, that kind of talk is just, that's just surface stuff for what the devil wants in your life. Just surface stuff. You know, a person cussing, a person telling a dirty joke around a water cooler or something off color, whatever, that's bad, all right, especially if it's coming from a believer. That's bad. But that's just surface stuff when it comes to what he really wants in your life. He really wants to change your talking to where you begin to vocalize the same things, the same principles, the same beliefs that you hear out of people in this world. That's what he wants. What I'm trying to say is he wants you to adopt the message that the world is preaching today and lift up your voice for those things instead of lifting up your voice for the Bible and righteousness and the Word of God. That's what he wants. That's his attempt. That's his desire, to get me talking different. He doesn't want me to stand up and say, this is what the Bible says. He wants me to say, they say. They's always saying something, right? They say. And then come off with something that you hear off of television or something you read on the computer or something that somebody got taught to them in a university somewhere. This false propaganda, this stuff that's wrong. You know what he wants me to do? Instead of me standing up and saying, look, the Bible is clear. Homosexuality is an abomination in the eyes of God. He wants me to say, well, it's all right. It's just their choice. It's, you know, some people are born that way and they can't help it. And we all just need to be tolerant and accepting of that. Well, let me tell you something. That's a lot worse. You may disagree. But that's a lot worse, you slipping up saying a cuss word here and there. Okay. What I'm talking about goes a heap sight deeper than you just hitting your finger with a hammer and saying something you ought not say. I'm talking about your voice being one of the voices in the multitude in this world that's lifting up its voice against the kingdom of God and the Bible. That's what I'm talking about. That's a whole different thing there. Being like that crowd that's crying out, crucify him, crucify. That was a big crowd of folks. But you know what that crowd was made up of? Individuals. Individuals are all standing out there hollering the same thing, lifting up their voice in condemnation of the Savior. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. If the devil can get you to thinking differently and get you to talking differently to where you stop being in the minority. How many of you understand this morning, us Bible-believing, saved people, folks, that the Bible is our authority? We the minority in this world, friend. You are badly deceived if you think we the majority in this world. He wants you to move from being in the minority that speaks up for the Lord and believes the Bible to joining in with that multitude. Let your voice be one amongst all that multitude that's lifting up your voice against the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, that would never happen to me. I'm too far along. You better watch out. Take heed lest you fall is what the Bible says. You better watch out. And here's how it happens. It starts with that thinking up there. That's why I said a while ago, if he can get you thinking wrong in one thing, if he can get any one of us in here, any one of us in here, to just begin to think, well, you know, maybe we have been wrong about this issue. Maybe we have been wrong about abortion. Maybe we have been wrong about homosexuality. Maybe we've been wrong about it. Maybe we've been too hard and too intolerant. If he can just get us to questioning that, you know what it does? It just gives him a foothold in our life. The process begins. And if you're not careful, as the years go by, you may not say it tomorrow. You may not say it next week. You may not say it a year from now. But what about 2 or 3 years down the road? You might just find yourself amongst that multitude that's speaking against the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot allow the process to begin, or if it has, you got to stop it. You'll be lifting up your voice. You'll have the same tongue, the same language, the same talk as people in this world that do not know God. We'll be using our voice to advance the kingdom of Satan instead of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's Christians just like that now, just like that. They've already conformed. They've made the change. Let me give you a couple others here. Not only did he want to change their thinking and change their talking, but I want you to notice he wanted to change what they were taking in, change their diet, get them to consuming stuff that they didn't need to be consuming. Look at verse number 5. 4 talks about how he wants them to get the learning in the tongue, but 5 says, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. He wants them to have a new diet, to start eating and drinking the same stuff he was, to change what they're taking in, what they're feeding themselves. We're talking about a process. How in the world can Satan get me to conform? Well, he can change my thinking, he can change my talking, and he can really affect me when he starts changing what I take in. What are you feeding yourself every day? See, it really doesn't matter. I get so tired. I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry. I get so tired of these people who say, it doesn't matter what I listen to. It doesn't matter what I let my kids listen to. That is unreal. I just can't imagine a parent. And I'm trying to be tolerant, okay? I'm trying to be accepting. I'm trying to be broad-minded and not narrow-minded. I'm trying to get my head around this idea that these parents spill out to me that it doesn't matter the kind of music they let their kids listen to, that it doesn't matter the kind of stuff that they let them watch on television, that they give them these cell phones and all they got to do is push a few buttons and all kind of nasty pornography pops up in front of them. They say, well, my kid would never watch that. Who are you kidding, man? Who are you kidding? If you'd have had it when you were a kid, you'd have looked at it. Y'all might as well say amen. You know it's true. And now you suddenly think that you're raising a saint? You raising a kid that's different than you are, that wouldn't do the same things, that doesn't have the same tendencies you had when you were a little kid or a teenager? You are kidding yourself if you think that's how it is, and you're just buying into the process is all you're doing. Let me tell you something. It's not just for us little kids anymore. How about us adults? What are we feeding ourselves? What you feeding yourself every day? What are you taking in? What's your diet? What does your diet consist of on a daily basis? If you want to be conformed to this world, then you just feed yourself with worldly stuff. What in the world is wrong? Can y'all tell me what is wrong with us feeding ourselves with spiritual food? What is wrong with us taking in as much Bible, consuming as much of the Scripture every day as we possibly can? What is wrong with us listening to good, wholesome, godly music instead of a bunch of junk that sounds like it came out of a jungle somewhere? What is wrong with that? I don't understand these Christians that feed on all this worldly garbage and junk and act like it's not going to have any effect on them. Listen, I see the effect every week when I stand up and try to preach to people. I'm not being ugly. And I'm going to tell you one reason why people are so insensitive to the preaching of the Word of God, why they can't sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God anymore, why they hadn't had a goosebump on the back of their neck when somebody's saying something about Jesus in 15 years. It's because they've ingested and taken in a bunch of garbage all week long. That's why. Let me ask you something. Doesn't the Bible say the full soul loatheth the honeycomb? Isn't that what it says? You know what that means? That means when you're full, even something as sweet as a honeycomb doesn't sound good to you. Y'all know what it is. We have dinner on the grounds. After the long-winded preacher finally shuts up and you get to eat lunch. You know what I mean? You go in there, you're starving to death, and then when you get done, you're like, oh, good grief, I got to unbutton my breeches. I don't want nothing else. Don't nothing. Y'all said it before. Don't nothing sound good to me anymore. You know why preaching doesn't sound good to people? Are y'all listening to me? You know why people don't enjoy preaching? Why they don't get anything when the choir sings? Why they have no joy? Because when they get to church, they're already full. And that full soul loatheth that honeycomb. They're full of the world. They've sat around in front of a TV all week or listened to a computer or a bunch of junk all week long, and they're full of the world now. And they cannot take in that spiritual food that they need so badly. That's what the problem is. Y'all thought when you gave me the boots I was going to be nice, didn't you? Y'all tried to buy me off with the boots. I am being nice to you, whether you believe it or not. The fella that lies to you ain't being nice to you. I'm telling you the truth this morning. He wants to change you. Thinking, he wants to change you. Talking, he wants to change you. Take in. What are you taking in? If you want to wind up worldly, just keep eating worldly junk. That's all you got to do. Just keep taking in that worldly garbage. Don't ever break away from any of that stuff and change your diet. Start eating differently. And my goodness, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? When you've been used to eating something a certain way all of your life, to change that, to get into a different routine, a different habit of eating things, that's hard, isn't it? Those of you that grew up down here in the South, y'all know what I'm talking about. I grew up with a bucket of lard sitting in the kitchen. Everything I put in my mouth had some seasoning in it. And I'm telling you right now, these doctors that say you need to get off the salt and get off the fat and all that, that's hard stuff, friend. It's hard to eat that stuff that don't taste good. Have you noticed everything's good for you, it just tastes bad, doesn't it? They tell you to change your diet. You go to a doctor, you got problems. You know what he says? You got high blood pressure, you got cholesterol and all. What do they tell you every time? Well, you need to start doing some exercise. Well, what do they tell you? Change your diet. Let me tell you something. If you're going to avoid being conformed to this world, you're going to change your diet. You can't keep watching the same stuff, listening to the same things, reading the same stuff. You cannot do that and not be affected by what you're taking in. You cannot do it. Here's the last thing. He wanted to change their title. Change their thinking, their talking, what they were taking in. He wanted to change their title. I want you to see this. I'm trying to hurry through it, but I want you to see this. Look at verse 6 now. Verse 6 says, now among these, among the ones that were recruited to be in this process, were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Folks that haven't read on through and really paid attention don't know who Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are. You know who that is? That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this is what I find interesting. Verse 6 is their Hebrew names. Those were the names that was given to them by their parents. You know what we know them by? Well, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I just would say this. I doubt very seriously that before you got here today, very many of you knew what their Hebrew names were. What do we know them by? We know them by their Babylonian names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were their Babylonian names, not the names that God intended for them to have. We knew them by those worldly names is what we knew them. But this is what they're called. Now look at this. I'm going to tell you something real quick here. Daniel means God is my judge. What a good name. God is my judge. This is what Hananiah means. Hananiah means the grace of the Lord. What about that? The grace of the Lord. Mishael means he that is the strong God. He that is the strong God. And Azariah means the Lord is a help. The Lord is a help. Man, what some good names. Okay, Verse 7, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. So not only are they changing all of a sudden, they're going to change their title, their names, to where they're not even called by the same thing. It says, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. What a name, Belteshazzar. It means the king's attendant or the king's leader. It was God is my judge. Now it's just the king's leader. He wanted Daniel's identity tied up with Nebuchadnezzar. Not with God, but with Nebuchadnezzar. Now listen, look at this. Hananiah, he gives him the name Shadrach. Shadrach means inspiration of the sun. What a pitiful mess. Inspiration of the sun. So a fella goes from the grace of the Lord to the inspiration of the sun. Not inspiration of the sun like S-O-N. But S-U-N. You know one thing that these people worshipped? The sun. Inspiration of the sun. Of Mishael, of Meshach. You know what Meshach means? It means the goddess of Shach. The goddess of Shach. So he goes from he that is the strong god to the goddess of Shach. I don't know, maybe he had Shaquille O'Neal in mind when he gave him that. Not sure. The goddess of Shach, gave him a name that was along feminine lines. Did y'all catch that? The goddess. He's a man, whose name means he that is the strong god, and they change his title to the goddess of Shach. Gives a man a feminine title. My goodness. I don't know if this is, if y'all seeing any of this or not. Mishael of Meshach and Azariah of Abednego. Abednego means servant of the shining fire. He wants them to adopt an identity that has nothing to do with God. All of their names, every one that I gave you a while ago, their Hebrew name had something to do with God, right? The true God of the Bible. They take all that away. We don't want you to be called by that title anymore. They don't want them to associate themselves at all with God. A complete clean break away from God is what he wants. To embrace the goddesses and the gods of Babylon. That's what he desires. You know what? Satan wants you to forget that one day you're going to stand before God and be judged. He don't want you to remember that. Daniel, God is my judge. You know, every time Daniel thought about his name, you know what it reminded him of? It reminded him of judgment day. Every time somebody, you know, Daniel, hey, Daniel. You know what's in his mind? One day I'm going to meet God and he's going to be my judge. You know what every one of us better remember? No matter what this world says, this world tries to paint a picture of no accountability whatsoever. We're not going to answer to anybody. We can just live any way we want to, and it doesn't matter. We can believe anything we want, and it doesn't matter. Listen, friend, it does matter because God is our judge. And one day, every last one of us is going to meet God and give account of ourselves. Satan doesn't want you to remember that. He don't want you to remember that. Hananiah, the grace of the Lord. My goodness. Satan don't want you to remember that you are the product of the grace of Almighty God. You know what Paul said about himself? He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Whatever good you are today, I promise you, it's because of the grace of God. If you're saved, you were saved by grace. If you're living for the Lord, it's by grace, friend. Every one of us need to understand that, but the devil doesn't want us to understand. He wants us to be proud. He wants us to be arrogant, egotistical, taking all the credit for ourselves. There's so much humanism in this world now, it is unreal. It is amazing how we want to bolster and build up man and brag on man, talk about what man can do so that the grace of God gets no glory whatsoever. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to begin to think that you are what you are because of you. You did it. And listen to people talk today. Isn't it amazing, the conversations? And I'm trying to get done, folks. I really am. But isn't it amazing how you hear these people talk? I did this and I did that and I'm this way because I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I went to the gym and I did this. And it's just I. Nobody wants to talk about the grace of God anymore. We heard it this week in the message. Just the breath that we draw into our lungs is the grace of God. Satan don't want us to remember that. He that is the strong God. He doesn't want you. The devil doesn't want you to know that your God is the Almighty God. And then the Lord is help. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to start looking to the world for help instead of God. The Bible says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help is in the name of the Lord, the Bible says. That's what we need to remember. Satan wants us to lose that identity to where we have no connection with God. And I'm not finished, but I'm going to stop. And I want you to think for just a moment. We get ready for an invitation. How's you thinking this morning? Has the process begun in your life? Is there any area in your life, and you be real with yourself, is there any area in your life where you know that you have begun to compromise your thinking, that you've begun to see things a little differently than what it says in the Bible? You've started to embrace things just a little different than you did before. Has the process begun in your life? Right now would be the best time for you to change that back to what the Bible says. What about your talking? And I don't mean, again, the things that we normally associate with bad talk. What's your message? Are you preaching the world's message? Or are you staying with what the Bible says? What are you taking in? What's your diet? What's your title today? What's your title? Do you understand God is your judge? You understand God is your help? You understand that God is your strength, that you can't do anything without him? Do you understand that it is just because of his grace that you exist here in this service today? Be careful about the process. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be here today. Thank you for the word of God, for the truth. Lord, help us. Lord, please help us not to be conformed to this world. Please give us your grace, your help, your strength, Lord. Help us always to remember every day that one day we'll meet you at the judgment. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's stand. Any decision you need to make.